This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. In conjunction with Valentine's Day on Monday, today on Ringgit and Cents, we're going to talk about wedding planning, the financial planning needed, managing familial and social expectations, as well as the common mistakes couples make. And to help me with this, I'm speaking with Soraya Zainuddin, writer and founder of Ringgit or Ringgit.com, as well as Nirmala Subramaniam, manager at the Financial Education Department of AKPK, that is the Agency Counseling Danpung Urusan Credit. To the both of you, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Hi, Roshan. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Roshan. Thanks for having me again. Excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you both on the airwaves again. It's been a while, and I think I've had you both separately on the show. But today, I thought it was very important to have both your angles, because Soraya, you recently had your wedding and you planned it pre-COVID-19, but had it post-COVID-19. So it's an interesting element to bring into the situation. And Nirmala, from AKPK's side, I mean, we've talked about how people taking on debt for weddings before has been a significant concern. So let's try and merge these two things in today. And I'd like to kick off this conversation with that, with the cost of weddings. Soraya, weddings can be expensive affairs. How did you and your husband set up the wedding budget? I asked my followers on Instagram whether they had questions, and this was probably the most asked question.
Sure thing. But before we begin, let me just tell the audience, in case you don't know, there are two parts of a Malay wedding. That's the nikah and also the reception. So it's something like your registration of marriage and the reception, right? So the reception part is the one that is technically optional. For me, my nikah went ahead, no problem, but it was the reception that got cancelled because of COVID. So I will just share how we originally planned our wedding budget overall, including the reception. So after, you know, both of you decide to get married, when my partner and I decided to get married, you announce it to your parents. The first thing to happen is for both families to meet each other. And then from the conversations, it kind of became obvious that we couldn't opt out from having the reception. So we kind of agreed to follow along our parents' plans. The first part was deciding on the budget was deciding on a joint reception event. So instead of having two separate ones, we decided to share all expenses for just one event. Sometimes in Malay weddings, people do opt to have multiple receptions. So that was a budget-related decision. And then we decided on the number of guests. So originally, our parents wanted like a combined 2,000 guests. And from there, we kind of negotiated it down to 1,500 combined. And I think at one point, I just came close to negotiating it further down to about like 1,300 or so. From then on, we calculated our maximum budget. We browsed around for wedding packages. We found the ones that calculate based on number of pax. We calculated everything. We gave the number to our parents, a middle ground rate. We added a percentage on top for some flexibility so that they can play around with it. I told them that they can plan however they want as long as it is within the budget. That's how we did it.
Right. And what was the budget for the wedding, if you don't mind me asking? The pre-pandemic budget?
We decided on 50-50, like 50% from my side, 50% from their side. We calculated it to be like a combined roughly 80K-ish, so roughly 40,000 ringgit each side.
And when we talk about the funding here, Soraya, where did this come from? Was this from savings? Did you take on debt to pay for this wedding? Was it from your parents? Because these are some of the typical sources, right, where people use to pay for their weddings.
Correct, yes. Well, in my case, I'm using my own savings. I guess that's the perk of getting married in your 30s. And if you were lucky, I was lucky. I had time to save up. I didn't actually have like a wedding earmarked fund or anything. It just came from my general savings. And it's just, you know, I always believe in saving money for saving's sake. So the money has always been there.
And we'll get to Nirmala and taking on the debt story in just a second. But before that, one of the other very popular questions I got on Instagram was managing expectations, societal and parental. Soraya, how did you and your husband manage and navigate through this?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not like my parents and his parents didn't know that I'm a personal finance blogger. content creator. So talking, you know, bringing up the topic wasn't particularly awkward. I think they might even have expected it. So like first and foremost, they've already expected the money talk to come from me and also my partner. Secondly, you know, people were excited. We are happy. I guess we were looking at another way. We were very happy that our parents were very excited for us. And, you know, they can get a little bit, you know, parents a bit overexcited. And when there were moments when it looked like the wedding budget could be exceeded, I just simply reminded them that if we took that upgrade that they wanted, then something else in the wedding budget will have to give. So I guess that was the main danger throughout the whole wedding process. So there were a lot of available upgrades, right? Like in terms of venue or food, little upgrades that makes the day just a little bit more special. And before you know it, your parents want to agree on 10 different upgrades. So the little percentage that I added on top came in handy, even though at the end I didn't use it.
That's a great planning there, Soraya, and thank you for sharing. Nirmal, let's jump over to you. And taking from your experience at AKPK and the various people that you guys deal with and help through debt issues, how often do you see stories of young couples getting to debt issues because of their weddings?
Thanks, Roshan. First of all, congratulations, Soraya, on your wedding. And coming back to the question now, yeah, we do. I have personally seen a few couples who actually came in to restructure their debts. And when we do ask them, what were these debts taken for? And mainly they mentioned that it's for their wedding. They have actually taken for their wedding. Not only children, they're not only couples. I've also seen parents who actually took debts for their children's wedding, yeah, for their child. One particular case that I will never forget was this lady. She was in her 50s. A single mom. She took personal loans and credit. She used up her credit cards and personal loans up to an amount of 100,000 ringgit for her only son's wedding. Yeah, and yeah, that was actually pretty sad. But she thought that. And also another thing, when they take up this debt, they always have this thought of you know, the ang pao money that comes in the. Mm-hmm. The gift money that comes in, they could actually use up that funds to pay up the debt. So it should not be a problem. So this is what comes to many many people's thought, you know, when they are thinking of taking up the debt, they will say, yeah, I'm just borrowing for a while and, you know, I'll be able to pay back once I get. So that was her exact thought. Yeah, she thought the same. But she could not pay back. She could not make up to 100,000 there. And I've also seen a couple who actually used up their credit card up to about 20,000 ringgit to have their honeymoon overseas, yeah, to have their honeymoon overseas. So it's just not on the marriage expenses, it's also for all the additional that comes after that, like honeymoon, and because they want to travel overseas and, you know, it's Insta famous, right? So you can post all these pictures. I guess, yeah, so it's the priority. So I have seen many who not only use up, most commonly they would take personal loans, but there were also many who used up their credit cards to pay for all these expenses, especially like bridal, photography, you know, renting of clothes and everything. So there are all these expenses that we have seen. Yeah, definitely.
And I guess this is a great point to then note that you shouldn't rely on the potential gift money that you get, right? Some cultures do that. And because you can't be guaranteed that you will be able to make up the expenses. And the last thing you want to do is start up your new married life in debt, right? Because it just adds so much strain to your life together going forward. And I think it's important to think about the consequences of this, because then you'll start, I think, really focusing on keeping that budget in place right now. Nirmala, maybe we can get into some of the stories you've heard in terms of how adversely something like this can affect the lives of people who've just started out as a married couple, how this debt burden can be adverse on their marriage.
Yeah, would like to share one case. Like, you know, when he came in for restructuring, when he came to meet me, and when he shared his story, you could see the frustration and anger in his face, you know. And the moment he says that, oh, look, you see, I used up my credit cards for honeymoon. I used up this for photography. I told, and he kept saying that, I told her, let's not do it. Let's not do it. Let's have it this way. So he had that anger and argument within him to say that, hey, this is not my fault. It was all her fault, the partner's fault, you know. So it builds up. And can you imagine what would this lead to? That, you know, I'm already angry because I'm having all this financial problem, and it's because of you. It's already at the beginning, you know, that start is already there. So how are they going to continuously lead, you know, a happy life, you know, without argument? Because every other thing is going to become an issue. Because there have been stats that has revealed, I think in 2018 by the Women Ministry, to say that one of the main reasons for divorce among married couples is finances. So it has been stated that one of the main reasons. Yeah. So we can see that we are not saying that money is everything in your marriage, but it helps you lead a better and a more peaceful life, you know, when you have things enough. So if you're going to start off with a huge commitment, yeah, or relatively, you would say, I mean, they would say, no, it's just a moderate commitment. After marriage, yeah, we have two income, so it shouldn't be a problem for us to pay and things like that. But what they fail to see is after marriage, actually your commitment increase. You know, you have things that you want to start. You want to buy a house then, you want to get a car, you want to change. And then children comes in, you know. And when children comes in, this is where commitments grow without you, you know. So you can't control this. So you definitely want to think moving forward, what should I do? How do I build my financial goals together? So rather than starting with a huge commitment for a one-day event, yeah, for a one-day event, why not we think about investing that money we have into the life that they're going to have after that, you know? So that would actually create a more harmonious kind of a situation. Because we have seen couples arguing, you know, because of you, I did this. So to avoid that, yeah, let's have a better understanding in the commitment that they want to get into.
Yeah, and I think this is very important to note, right? Because a lot of times it is this expectation of each other. There is also maybe they didn't communicate truthfully with each other, right? Because everyone's trying to impress the other during the initial stages, and or there are, again, familial and cultural expectations of the wedding. On that note, though, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, more on managing expectations as well as Soraya's key lessons from her wedding. Keep it here to Ring It and Sense on BFM 89.9. Good morning and welcome back to Ring It and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. This morning, I'm speaking with Soraya Zainuddin, writer and founder of Ringit or Ringit.com, as well as Nirmala Subramania, manager at the Financial Education Department of AKPK, the agency counseling Danpung Urusan Credit, and we're talking about wedding planning. Now, Soraya, back to managing expectations.
When you were speaking to your husband about the expectations, now I understand, of course, they knew you were a personal finance writer and that you're very conscious about this, but was, even with that in mind, were there any difficult points in the conversation, things that needed to be hashed over time? And do you have any advice when it comes to speaking to your spouse about the expectations and the spending on the wedding?
I think that overall, when it comes to wedding planning, there's always this sense of it's your day. And I think the faster you accept that your wedding day is as much your parents' event as it is yours, it's better. A lot of people actually do say things like, why have your parents' friends or people you don't know at your wedding? But when we see it from their perspective, they forget that for many parents, the opportunities to have reunions with their friends get less and less over time. Many of their peers would have passed on, so they really do cherish the ones who are still around. And events like this, like weddings, is the perfect time for them to meet all their friends at once. So I think viewing it as a group project rather than a personal project is really important. So when you talk about group project, like any other group project, this is the time for you to use your soft skills. You have to find that middle ground. This is the time and the opportunity for you and your families to see how well you work together, how you manage expectations, how you work with different personalities. For example, I'm not a big fan of reception in general, but as soon as I saw that it's really important for my parents, his parents, I went along with it and just tried my best to be as collaborative as possible. In one sense, you know, you yourself want to start the married life on a good note, right? With no fighting. So I think the issue is as much as being in budget, also to not start it on the wrong footing and fighting about it. So making it a very collaborative event, you have to know that for the most part, most parents want their children to start their married life on a good, on a good start anyway. So coming from that angle, I believe that it is just, it's just your way of navigating how to solve this this issue in a way that makes everybody happy. And I do believe there are ways to go about it. For me personally, once I told my parents, yeah, okay, you know what, I'll do it for you. Like, I'll do the reception for you. And then I can see how incredibly happy they were. And from then on, they were much more, open to listen to my budget-friendly ideas. And from then on, it just went incredibly well.
So with now that your wedding is done, Soraya, and you did the scaled down version because of the pandemic, right? What was the ending? What was the final cost of the wedding overall?
Well, I spent around 12,000. However, about 7,000 of that were for services that we couldn't use. So we put down a deposit for an event hall. In the end, we couldn't use it. So if I calculated, if I make the final calculation just on what we use only for the nikah, it came out to 5,200 ringgit, more or less.
And overall, what would you say is the most important thing you learned from the wedding planning itself? Something you wish you had known before and maybe can help others who are listening right now?
I think that what Nirmala pointed out just now about getting the money gift from guests as a way to recoup back your investment, I actually did thought of that. I wanted to say that if you play your cards right, maybe you can even, recoup back all of your expenses for your wedding and, pay off your, replenish your savings. Definitely don't use that, but to replenish your savings, right? But as Nirmala pointed out, okay, perhaps that's not a good idea after all. So don't bank on money that you don't have in your hands yet. Perhaps that's one thing that if I were to do everything all over again, I would probably pay more attention to not bank on things that are not certain yet. Like we all know this year, I hate the word unprecedented, but that's exactly what happened. And none of us knew that it had to end the way that it ended.
Now, Nirmala, just following up from that, what advice do you have for young couples who are planning or going to plan their weddings?
Definitely have a budget. Have a budget. So you know how much you can afford to and go with it. And first and foremost, I think the most important thing is understanding each other's money behavior. You have to understand, like, I agree with Soraya, family's expectation. My child's wedding is something really big. I really want to have it well. So I think it's about sitting and talking and understanding each other's expectation and actually how much we have. That's very important. And of course, research out for good bargains. And now things are different. You could do it differently. So you have to research out for and see what are the good bargains that you can get. Yeah. And be flexible too. There will be a lot of peer pressure, I see. I think it's not an easy task when you discuss. The more you discuss, the more ideas will be thrown in, the more things. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it can be quite challenging, actually. So it's back to the basic. You have to be a little bit disciplined, but be a little bit flexible too. But also knowing how much you can really do have. But another most important thing is many needs to have is a buffer. Please have a buffer. So if you have a budget of 40,000, 50,000 or 80,000, don't plan your expenses up to 80,000. That will be an issue if there is an emergency, because emergencies happen anywhere, everywhere. You will never know. So I have actually seen one case where the caterer pulled out last minute and they could not get food on the day, you know, and so they had to use, they had to just buy from the nearby restaurants and, you know, just add on. So these were all additional expenses that they did not plan for. And it's so critical on the day, right? So if you have an 80,000 ringgit budget for a wedding, then maybe you only budget your wedding, you know, you put in your expenses maybe for about 70,000. You keep, you forget about that 10,000. If it's not spent, it's good, right? It's an, still an extra money that you can use later. It's never a waste. But if you really need to have, then you don't go borrowing. Because another aspect that I've seen couples who went, they did not intentionally start their wedding with a debt. No, they did not. They didn't want to. But as expenses grew beyond what they can manage and, you know, suddenly something emergency happened, they started using their credit cards. And so that's when they created a debt. So have this emergency, have this buffer for your wedding expenses, yeah, so that you have this extra cash additionally in your hand. And also, lastly, invest in the marriage and not in the wedding. So focus on the marriage. That's the key thing that we want to live happily ever after for the next 30, 40 years together, you know. So focus on that marriage, actually. The wedding is, yeah, everybody, we want to have our dream wedding, true, but we can save up to this and we can do things slowly, yeah. And also, Roshan, just to share, in AKPK, we have our learning portal at power.akpk.org.my, where we have a module called Do It Together, Do It, D-U-I-T, Do It Together. And this is everything about what you need to know before you get married. You know, what are the questions you should ask your spouse to before you get married and things like that. So that'd be good for couples who are thinking to get married to actually go through the course.
Fantastic. Nirmala, that's a great note to end this episode on. Thank you so much for both of you for your time today.
Thank you, Roshan, for having us. And nice being with you again, Suraya.
Thank you so much, Roshan. I would like to say, Nirmala, about Do It Together. I personally did the course and I think it is amazing and I highly recommend it to everyone out there who's also planning your wedding.
On that note, that's all for Ringgit and Sense today. This morning, I was speaking with Nirmala Subramaniam, manager at the Financial Education Department at AKPK, as well as Suraya Zainuddin, writer and founder at ringgitoringgit.com. And you've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.